Thank you very much for coming. This is our seventh shiur. The show is on the Haftaros. Lori Gutman, Abubas Ramon Chalevi, Aleo Shalom, Zalki Kleiner, Elke Mindel, Bas Ramosha, Aleo Shalom, and of course, Ms. Michelle Jacobus, Aleo Shalom, Rachel Miral, Bas Rav Shmuel, Aleo Shalom. Rabbi Zweig has been here for 30 years. Just finalized that with Rabbi Zweig. And we're very happy that he's able to pull himself away from the high school to give us some time. Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and a great cover to be here. A few things really came together in a very opportune way. This is the time of year before Pesach, and we know that different Yom Tovim have different features and characteristics. And Pesach is we highlight family, celebrate avos. You see in the Chumash. Even the idea of the blood being on the mashkov, on the doorpost, is about the mishpacha. At the Seder, we emphasize the mishpacha, and together with mishpacha, we emphasize, especially at the Seder, but in general, the four sons, the issue of chinuch. So it's a very opportune time to speak about chinuch, both chinuch here in school and chinuch at home. I think one can argue, and I'm going to help to develop this, I think one can argue what is the most critical element in successful chinuch, in having families and schools where the children want to learn from us in our way of life. Like, if you think about that for a minute, what would you identify as the key element? Now, you could probably argue a lot of different ways. I'd like to advocate, and I'm saying that I'm sure that this is the most important way, definitely would rate near the top, and that is trust. That those who are entrusted in our care, that they feel that they trust us. And the trust, I think, can be divided into two parts. There is trust that you are honest with me, and that I can rely on you to give me the truth about what life is all about, what Torah is all about, what I should be all about, that there's truth in what you're giving me. And also, a second totally different idea, which is just related, but a different idea, is that I trust that not only you're giving me truths and ideas and thoughts, but that you're giving me truth, that I trust you in that you value me as I am, as a human being, as a Ben of Bas Yisrael, and you appreciate and value me as I am. And I can trust that that's the way you look at me, and then if that's a relationship, then I want to hear whatever you have to say and I want to learn from you. So we're talking about two aspects of trust. I'd like to speak about each one briefly. I hope I'll have enough time to develop each one, even though in a concise way. By the way, I was at a board meeting last week, and one of the Balabatim who came onto the board several months ago, who I'm very friendly with, who has a daughter who's now 12th grader, he said the reason he has always identified so strongly with Beis Yaakov and why he loves Beis Yaakov is because it says Beis Yaakov is Erlichkeit. It's Yashar. It's everything that's honest and true, and that is such an essential element in the whole identity of the school, and that's why the school is something that's very precious to him. So I think it's something that we've always been known as Bli Ayin Hara, that hopefully will continue. It so happens that this week is Parsha Shemini, and there is an incredible comment from Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz in his Sefer, maybe one of the most profound and important ideas that he has in all of his explanations of Chumash, that comes from this week's Parsha. Because in this week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. After the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, says that he was looking for the Seir HaChatas Dorosh Dorash Moshe. There was a carbon for Rosh Chodesh. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And he couldn't find it, and it turned out that they had burnt it, and he thought they should have eaten it. And it says, Vayiktsof, he became very angry, he complained to them, he spoke to the children, Elazar Nisamar, rather than directly to Aaron. Shouldn't put Aaron on the spot, it would not be respectful. And he said, I told you that I received instructions that today's Karbanos, because this is the Chanukah Samishkan, that even though you are Avelim, but nevertheless, you're supposed to eat them. Normally, an Avil would not eat Kachim, but you are. So why did you burn this one? I received instructions from the Ribbono Shel Olam that today is an exception to the rule and that everything should be eaten. So why'd you burn this one? So Aaron answered him and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, are you sure that you heard it about this carbon also, the carbon of Rosh Chodesh? Because this is a regular carbon that's going to be brought for the rest of eternity. Isn't it possible that you heard it about the special carbonus of the day, but that this one is a regular carbon that has nothing to do with the great events of the day, and this type of carbon we normally burn and it's not eaten, and that's why we burnt it? And it says in the Pasuk that Moshe, Vayishma Moshe Vayitav Beinov, even though a minute before he was angry, this itself is a whole lesson by itself, that he was burning angry, and when he realized he was wrong, right away he changed his homewood. He didn't like try to, you know, move slowly from his anger and do. So Rashi says from Chazal, Hodev lo bosh. He conceded, and he did not let himself to be guided by his embarrassment. Lomar lo shamati, to say, no, I didn't hear it that way, not necessarily right. He said, you're right. That taka is, you're right. I only heard it about the other karbonos. I didn't hear it about this one. You're right. I made a mistake. So Chaim Shmulevitz says, this was a watershed event in the transmission of Torah. Because look what's happening here. If Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to them, I got instructions from Hashem with Nevuah, and then I forgot what I was told, there goes the Mesorah. There is no Torah. You can't rely on a single word that Moshe Rabbeinu says. Because maybe he's making a mistake. He's human like everybody else. Who said Hashem really said this? Who said this is the Torah? Where's the Torah? You can't rely on Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu realized that it's not for him to make Hezbonos, and he can't make up something that's not true. The Torah is Emes, and it has to be given over to Emes. And even if it means that there will be some resulting problems, that Hashem has to work out those problems. But the foundation of Torah is that you're giving over the truth. And the truth is that he made a mistake, and he has to say that he made a mistake. So, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, and that is what kept the continuity of Torah and gave Torah its power. The fact that we know that the Rebbe and the teacher is telling me the truth. And that's what Yiddishkeit is about. That's why the Torah can tell you a story about Lot and his daughters, and that's where Mashiach will come from. And that's why the Torah can tell you stories about other unseemly things, because the Torah is about truth. That's the power of the Torah. So much so, there's a Ramban that actually appears in Parshas Vashanan. They're still learning Vashanan in the middle school? Is that? Ramban says that the power of our Mesor and our Muna is the Chazak. It's a very well-known statement from the Ramban. Ha'av eino manchil sheker. A father, a reasonable person, does not tell his children lies, and that's why we could believe what our parents are telling us. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, listen to this praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. We know Moshe Rabbeinu was praised in many ways in the Torah. He's Anav Mikol Adam. Yomisha Moshe Eved Hashem, the ultimate Eved Hashem. But listen to what it says about Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, the Ribbono Shel Olam's response and feeling about Moshe's willing to make himself look bad, not come up with an excuse, not rationalize, but stick to what the Torah is and embarrass himself and make himself look he made a mistake, which you find throughout Shas all the time, people saying they made a mistake, but Moshe is doing this at a very core, a critical point. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. the Torah is named as Moshe's Torah. It's an unbelievable thing. Moshe was a conduit for Torah. Moshe was the closest to Hashem that anyone had gotten. But the Torah, which is the manifestation of the Ribbono Shel'Olam himself, Kutshe Baruch Hu V'Oraisa of Yisrael Chadhu, it's mamish, a manifestation of the Ribbono Shel'Olam, it's called Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. Torah's Moshe, it's Moshe's Torah. Because he was willing to totally sacrifice himself in all circumstances, and with this one, Barosh Kulam, so that's what the Torah is about. So that's lesson number one, that our children and our students need to feel that we are telling them the truth and we are about truth. When we make a mistake, when something is not right, they will hear from us. Of course, there are exceptions to every rule. Sometimes we need to protect people by not telling the truth. Or as my mother-in-law says, don't lie, but who said you have to tell the whole truth? You don't have to necessarily reveal everything. But that's lesson number one. Trust, at one level, is about you can trust me, I'm not lying to you, and therefore you could believe everything that I'm telling you about our Masorah, everything that I'm telling you about life, you can trust me, and a child needs that level of trust. Then we go to the second part. This is amazing. The idea of valuing and being not judgmental about every person. Here's what I have found in my experience. We look at some people who are seem to be very superior people, and we might use a term, it's a very harsh of a person, which is very normal to describe someone like that. And if we are in this room, we are people who have a tremendous sensitivity to very weak people, weak in ruchnius, weak in other areas, and we want to be makar of them. But then there are a lot of people who don't necessarily impress us, who aren't the cases, and aren't the stars, and you know, sometimes they're just not so impressive to us. We don't necessarily have such a high opinion of them. So listen to this. There's a saying in Yiddish, maybe some of you are familiar with it. This Lefkowitz is probably familiar with it. From Zuckman Eifagalach. You familiar with the saying?
No? Not with me, but what? With the saying.
Okay. From, the word from, say someone's very from. So they say from, you could say about a galach, about a minister of another religion. I heard another version of this. I never really fully understood what that meant until recently when I saw a book explain it. There's another version of the expression, and actually I don't know if the book even mentioned it, but it put a light on in my head. From Zuckman Eifaferd. From, talk about a horse. I think I had that quoted B'Shem Rav Schwab, which I never understood. So recently I saw a sefer which quoted from Rav Volbi, that Rav Volbi says the following. I think this particular part may be a quote from Rabbi Rucham Lubavitch, the Mir Mashkiach. There's a pasuk in Barchi Nafshi which says, HaKafirim Shoagim LaTeref, or LaTeref, the cubs are roaring, crying out for their food, Ulevakesh Mekel Ochlam, and to seek from Hashem their food. So Rabbi Rucham said, I think it was Rabbi Rucham said, that pasuk indicates that that even animal life on some level has some type of awareness that there is someone up there, some superior source through which they will get their food. An awareness, on a very primitive level, even less than primitive, an awareness that there's a power, that there's a bar, that someone, that the food will come. So there is such a thing as a native feeling, an inclination, an understanding that there's somebody up there. So Rav Volbi said the following. We know that people have a lot of different types of predispositions. As mechanchos and as parents, we know you could see one child, you know, from the time the child is 3 years old, this child has a very serious attitude about davening. There's one girl who's davening for a long time and she means it. One person has an inclination for chesed. One person has an inclination for the area of communication. One person has an inclination for shopping, running around, which I remember we had a 12th grader who that was her middle name, running around, so my wife put her in charge of running around for Gemach. Okay. One person likes reading. One person likes making money and only thinks in terms of money and how to make money. And each one of these, like music, like art, and each one of these is a predisposition. So Rav Volbi said, so is religion. There are some people that by their nature they are drawn to religious activity and to wanting to have some level of connection with a higher being. It's a nature that some people have more than other people. That's why there's such a thing as a galuch or a nun. Do you ever see any of these nuns close up, far away? They look like they're really serious about it. So you don't have Kedushas Yisrael, and if it's not fully balanced, you don't necessarily have emes, but you do have that predisposition towards religion. And it exists among some of our kids. So some of the kids who we would naturally be inclined to say, oh, look at that, you know, so chashuv, she runs to daven, she runs to a mitzvah. The best example that I want to give to you of how this would apply in chinuch, which maybe I'm skipping one or two steps, is when we had several years ago, actually last year, there are a couple of times when we had trips. Who wants to go to New York to Sarah Schneer trip? I can't make you go. So 90% want to go, 10% don't want to go. If you don't want to go, you stay in school for the day unless you want to take an unexcused, and we'll give you a program. Who wants to go, who's going to be part of the technology program that we do every year around Pesach time, and then the reward is that you get a trip to some great place for almost a whole day, and you have a blast, and 90% say they want to do it, 95% say they want to do it, they don't mind, it's not so hard to do, and they want the reward, et cetera, et cetera, and 10% don't. So I realized a couple of years ago when I was speaking to the school and I wanted to say to them, this goes back to 7 or 8 years to the Sarah Schneer trip, that you want to say you made a very, very good decision. You're going to a very harsh of a place. Which means that you're judging that the ones who don't want to go and listen to speeches for 4 hours, right, that they made a less chashuv decision because they're less chashuv people and they're not inclined to the religious activity of hearing about Sarah Schneur. Who knows how much of it has to do? That's your nature. You want to go, you don't want to go. You're inclined to it, you're not inclined to it. And I don't have any right to say or think, or with the technology thing. I remember when we went and we bought pastry, because we do sometimes in the school trip, we bought pastry to give out on the buses. So we said, what do you mean? The ones who go on the bus get pastry, and the ones who stay in school don't get pastry? Why? Because they did a chashuv thing, they're going on a bus trip, they're your favorites, you favor them, you think they're better, you think they're more chashuv. These people are not inclined in that direction. So everyone has bechir on some level. I didn't think there was time to mention this. There was an Israeli, this happened about 12 years ago. Ori Klein, I think. A person with a kippah struga, someone who we think their standards maybe not like ours. And he was a captain of a group sown through a grenade. He jumped on the grenade, and he said Shema Yisrael jumping on the grenade, and he gave up his life that way. So would anyone know during this person's entire life, you know, this is a Haredi, he's not a Haredi, he doesn't do things that I do, what deep down, what his level of religiosity is, just in terms of just what he's about inside? We don't know what anyone is about inside. We don't know the chashivas of anyone inside. We don't have a right to say. And people who are like excellent and not being judgmental, we don't have a right to say, yeah, that's a very chashuv a person. In other words, that person is not as chashuv. And you're judging it because that's the one who's davening along Shmon Esrei or very taking the studies very seriously. And the other one is just running around and shopping and not doing anything with her life. There is a great line that Rabbi Heshi Weinrib once quoted from a psychologist in a drush on Shabbos. I like words and I like ideas, and it made an impression on me. And several years later, I said to him, that line made an impression on me more than just about anything that you ever said. And I said it back to him, and he said, never heard of it. He didn't remember. And this is a key to having their trust in us as their parents and their mechanchim, that I am never judging you. Not just you, because you're the very weak one and I want to be makar of you. No matter who you are, you're here, you want this, you're running around, you're getting in trouble. I am never judging you. I can't judge another human being. So here's the quote. I know you don't know what the first word means, probably. Eschew all memory and desire. Eschew means avoid, stay away from. This psychologist said, you know what the key is to successful relationships? That you're not remembering what happened yesterday, and you're not desiring something for this person and wanting the person to be a certain way. That has no bearing on your relationship. You're relating to this person as this person is presenting himself or herself to you right now in this situation, and that's who you're relating to in a complete way. So this trust means that the child feels, I can totally trust you because you're not looking, you're not judging me. ever. You're never judging me. You're just not judging me. You're dealing with whatever happens. You may be dealing with problems I'm creating. I like to say to people who come to the office, they say, can I bother you for a minute? I say, no, you cannot. Because hopefully whatever will be will not be a bother. So Kal Vachomer was supposed to be like that with our children. So to sum it up, I think the essential elements of chinuch, whether in the home or at school, are the essential element is trust. And we're dividing it into two parts. Number one, you can totally trust me implicitly on everything, that I will give you the truth about life, and I will never be hiding anything from you, because in any way it'll put me at a disadvantage, it'll make me uncomfortable. You'll only get the truth from me. And number two, you can trust that I will appreciate and value you as Hashem made you. I just add this one point. One of my kids at 5 years old stayed in Yom Kippur the whole day. And after that Yom Kippur, I was patting myself on the back. I always knew I was Iluyish as a Mechanech. And look what I did. He's only 5 years old. He got all the messages from me. Then I had another kid who, whenever we went to school, I could never find him. And I realized, Hashem, this person was like this at 5 years old, and this person was like this at 5 years old. So one is Isaac B'tzar Chetzir B'memunah, and finding hours and hours to learn, and one is a Maggid Shir. And I don't know who Hashem loves more. I know that both of them are living their lives according to their natures. If we accept as you are and give you only the truth and accept you as you are, then no matter what the person's nature is, that person could be a true Eved Hashem because they're happy and they feel good about themselves and about the way they're treated. So the idea of the second part is that the child should feel you value me, I can just give you the exact words I wrote here, as Hashem made me, not as you wish for me to be, which is often something that we do. So it should be Zocha to absorb and develop and nourish these two ideas, these twin ideas of trust, so that our homes and our children at school should always be getting the best that they can in the Yiddishkeit we're giving to them.